meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody, and welcome. And indeed, the winds have changed.
Have they changed?
Yes. Really, they have. I want to go back to the Paul Harvey. Do you remember the the devil? If I were the devil,
right?
If I were the devil, and then also there's a couple of things here I'd like to look at today. I just read this article called "Doom Scrolling." Past Christ, you know, the dangers of the cell phone and the internet and the like. I thought it was pretty interesting. Article and go back to the words of Gandalf, right? No, to Frodo, I wish it need not have happened in my time, said Frodo. Well, that's what Frodo said. I wish it need not have happened in my time, said Frodo. And Gandalf said, well, so do I, and so do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. We are in a really strange time.
Yeah.
We really are, and a dangerous time. I think there's no denying it. Everywhere you turn, everybody I talk to, unless people are completely tuned out or tuned into the wrong thing.
There are some that are completely out there.
But we'll look at some of this stuff. It's rehashing, maybe. Anyway, let's pray, and then we'll. Did I bring my prayer down? Or did I not? Yeah, here we go. Okay, so let's. We'll begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity, of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins, and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this very critical time, we entrust the whole world to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim the world for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation and all nations, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant the world the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation upon which we should live our lives, and that he alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And now, trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, interesting times we're living in. Somebody brought this to my attention yesterday, and that's why I went and pulled it out.
Thinking about it all.
Did I bring it? Yeah. I want to start by reading this. And again, I think about this. You know, this was written, this was said, spoken in 1965. We've shared this before on the radio, but it's been a while. And I tell you, I can feel the tiredness in my voice. Yeah.
This time I do.
Yeah, really, it's nonstop. My confessions are going way beyond the mass time at night.
Wow.
Last night, I think I finished. I don't know what time it was, but there were so many, which is a good thing, but literally it's nonstop.
Isn't that life work, you think?
Yeah, well, life is work, yeah. You rest when you die, you know.
Exactly.
So, eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know, it's, And I think what makes it all the more difficult. Well, and I'll bring this up as well. But you know, I John, your brother, I share with you the distress, the kingdom, the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. It's the trying to wrestle in your head with what's going on in the world, and as Pope John Paul II called it, the culture of death up against the civilization of life, or the does he say civilization or culture of life? But it's a real battle, and you know something is really, really awry when more and more you talk to people and they whisper and they look behind their back to make sure nobody is listening to what they're saying, you know, because they want to, people feel very much alone out there. Yeah. We're so influenced by the media and the manipulation and having a way of life, a way of thinking that is so radically contrary to our values and our principles, the whole civilization of life. Everything's just being crammed down your head, you know, put in your head, and it's done in such a, even though things are being unmasked and it's out in the open, but nonetheless it's the deception and the seduction, mm-hmm. and the illusion that's being created, and the inculcation, the indoctrination of young people into ideologies that are, again, radically contrary to Christian principles and values, radically contrary to the commandments of God, mm-hmm. to the discipline of life, or the discipline of our faith. It's just, but let's go back to 1965, and I've got a number of things here, and I just want to throw this out here. 1965, I mean, think about that, 1965, I remember.
This is a very good year.
I was 10 years old. It was a very good year.
I was a fetus.
I was 10 years old. You were not, were you?
I was born, yes.
Were you born in?
Right, I was few days old, maybe, depending on what year.
1960. What year were you born?
1965.
Oh, okay, yeah. So it depends on when this was.
So I was either with those you were months before one.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Anyway, so you were. You were.
I am.
Either in your mother's womb or you had already seen the light of day.
Fresh escaped.
Yeah, right. But 1965, Paul Harvey. If I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee, meaning God. Mm-hmm. So I'd set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I began with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good, and what's good is square. That was a popular word that was used in those days. And the old I would teach to pray, after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each, in its turn, is consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect the discipline to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the House of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbols of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who want until I have killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what do you bet I could get whole states to promote gambling as a way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun. I don't think these are words these days, but that swinging is more fun. I think today it's a hookup, right?
Yeah.
That's the hookup culture. That what you see on the TV is the way to be, and thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey, and he says, "Good day." And then there's this commentary just following. It says, "It is my hope that you will join with us praying daily for a revival in our lives, our churches, our communities, and our nations. We must decide to be different, Christ-focused. What offends him should offend us. What breaks his heart should break ours. What he loves, we should love. The world desperately needs Jesus, and we know he is the answer to the challenges in our families, our nation, and our world. May God send his Holy Spirit to revive each of us first, so that we will be effective instruments for him in this world, our temporary home. Jesus commands each of us, go. Go in his name and the power of the Holy Spirit and change the world. We must go and go quickly. The clock of eternity is ticking and the midnight hour is rapidly approaching. Jesus, our King and Lord, is preparing to return, and we must make ourselves ready and go make disciples in this world where we are living." Very interesting.
Yeah.
God is good all the time. We got to remember that. Okay, everybody, we're going to take a quick break. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio, Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
Can you help St. Stanislaus Kostka Church? The church was constructed over 150 years ago, and despite its age, has maintained its sacred and timeless beauty. There is a realization that our shared spaces need to be upgraded with items such as a wheelchair lift for the lower church, new men and women's bathrooms, and the creation of space for meetings and hospitality, as well as more accessible wheelchair access. Visit ststandschurch.org, ststandschurch.org, for complete details on the renovation and what you can do to help.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change. Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors
The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy
Welcome
Expressway.
Back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I'm Father Anthony. I'm Father Anthony. I'm Winds of Change.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, you get people. I don't know how much longer I can keep doing this.
You can, Father. You can.
It's just we go nonstop here, and in the break,
doing business. I like it.
Pietro came in. He's the guy that did the floor, the marble right. in the church, and he brought me. And he's from Italy. Great guy.
Yeah.
Did you meet him before?
Yeah.
Just a great, great guy. And he brought me some wine. Not that I'm drinking it here, but you know, so.
No, but. It is amazing how sometimes we can fit so many things if people just saw what happens here. And even like you think about the parish too. If people knew how, and you say it so many times and I'll say it for you again because I love hearing it because until I saw it myself, I didn't believe it. But you go from one thing to another.
It's amazing.
You make do with the little time you have to get as much done. And sometimes it's never enough time.
Yeah.
So it's a constant. You talk about being in confession, and it rolls over to the
time.
Yeah,
no, I'm wired that way too. And we have to fulfill our responsibilities. And I always say that I tell people that my going to Rochester mm-hmm. every 3 weeks is God's divine providence because it gives me a.
Have you slowed down?
I'm forced to do that, but here it is. It's nonstop, and now that I've taken on appointments as well, so I've got mm-hmm. office hours. So this afternoon I've got appointments back to back, and
it's the fact of dealing with people.
Yeah,
you deal with one
sure.
emotions.
Well,
emotions
see, but see, that's here, this is the thing. You know,
people don't understand that.
People, I think we all have to understand is. And that's why I guess I keep saying to myself, even yesterday I was saying to myself, you know, I can't be pessimistic. I can't mm-hmm. be always talking about the negative. You know, you want to hear good news. There's a point where you have to actually tune the news out because it is such so much bad news. But what's more disturbing is the confusion today that is running rampant. And what it's doing to people,
mm-hmm.
I think the pandemic has really psychologically hurt us.
Yeah, people really understand this, and they won't for years.
No, because
we're seeing it already.
And it's not going to stop. It's going to be something else, and it's going to be something else. And people feel demoralized.
Yeah.
They feel that they're being, you don't know who to believe. Again, we mentioned that. I just read from the script of Paul Harvey. During the break, mm-hmm. 1965. It's hard to believe that this was spoken in 1965.
Yeah. It seems like spot on what we're going through today.
But he's not the only one that spoke like this. You know,
I've heard other people.
Again, I think of Pope John Paul II. Mm-hmm. I think of Pope Paul VI, who said, "The smoke of Satan has entered into the highest places of the church." The danger of the last days. Paul in his letter to Timothy, keep this before us, because the point is we need a change of heart. But how do you confront the evil that is coming at us in such deception and seduction, the illusion that has been created? How do you battle all this? As I listen to young people, and this is no exaggeration, people, these young people are so confused right now. And you know, they're talking about, there's people have been writing about this epidemic of loneliness among young people and the high rate of suicide. You know, I walk around and I try to say, well, is it really that bad? But then I listen to people and it's extremely draining and frustrating and causes anxiety. I find myself often feeling this anxiety because it doesn't have to be this way. It doesn't have to be this way. Again, you know, the words of St. John, I, your brother, I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. Distress, stress, anxiety, whatever you want to call it, you know, and that was at that time, you know. Last night I was in the homily, I was speaking about, because I was thinking about St. Paul, who was, he was en route from one place to another, but, you know, they had to either walk or take a ship or whatever, but, you know, like this is going from Antioch to Rome or whatever. And I thought, you know, they had the time and the space to reflect and to think. You know, they had a lot of time mm-hmm. in those travels. You know, years ago when you would make the international travel to Europe, you didn't have screens, you know, or now you if you take the international travel, and maybe it's even, you know, from across our own nation, I don't know. When I fly to Rochester, it's just an hour flight. There's nothing there, you know. But the point is that everybody has their own screen, mm-hmm. and you get access to a multiplicity of movies and sitcoms and documentaries and music. And not that that's bad, but it's odd being in the plane, in these big jumbo jets, and everybody's got their screen on. You know, their own private little screen.
Right.
And, you know, and I'm thinking, wouldn't this be a wonderful time to have nothing but to have to sit with your own thoughts? You know, use this time for prayer, or read a book or whatever, or talk to your neighbor. Who knows? You know, these are different times. We're living in strange times. The danger of the last days, you know, St. Paul in his letter to Timothy, his second letter to Timothy, he says, understand this, there will be terrifying times in the last days. People will be self-centered and lovers of money, proud, haughty, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, irreligious, callous, relentless, slanderous, licentious, lawless, morally unrestrained, brutal, hating what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, as they make a pretense for religion, a false show, hypocrisies. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingly power, proclaim the word, be persistent, whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Convince, reprimand, encourage, through all patience and teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but following their own desires and insatiable curiosity, will accumulate teachers and will stop listening to the truth and will be delivered to myths. But you, be self-possessed in all circumstances. Put up with hardship. Perform your work well. Fulfill your ministry. I mean, my gosh, this is so important to hear this mm-hmm. in this day, in this time. John, in his second letter, I rejoice greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth just as we were commanded by the Father. For this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that you love one another, that we love one another. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. Such is the deceitful one and the Antichrist. Look to yourselves that you do not lose what we worked for, but may receive a full recompense. Anyone who is so progressive as not to remain in the teaching of Jesus of the Christ does not have God. Whoever remains in the teaching has the Father and the Son. It's very interesting, you know, very interesting. Reflecting on the times in which we're living. Finish up with this. I was during the Easter season talking about reflecting on the seven churches from the book of Revelation, and just see how all this maybe connects. But in view of the times we're living in, I've been speaking about this on the radio, but I find the book of Revelation especially intriguing. So during this Easter season, we're coming to the end of this Easter season, I've been reflecting on the messages given to the seven churches. And these messages to the seven churches, this is a prelude to the cosmic upheaval coming upon the world. The cosmic upheaval has been a reality throughout history, no doubt, to varying degrees. In the past century, many must have feared the end of the world was at hand when we consider the millions upon millions of lives that were brutally exterminated under a systemic atheistic regimes. Did we go through this? Did we talk about this? No. But even today, you know, one wonders with a great amount of anxiety and fear what lies ahead. And again, I'm hearing this from people all over the place. John, again, opened the book of Revelation with these words, "I, John, your brother, share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus." Now, using words such as distress and endurance imply challenges that can put faith to the test. But he reminds us we share in the kingdom of God, which is in our midst, but not fully realized, and it won't be fully realized until the world passes away. Now, the seven churches represent the church, Catholic, meaning universal. The messages apply to the baptized who constitute the church in all ages. Today, these messages, or those messages, are rather poignant because the world is radically and rapidly changing, and the great apostasy, that is, the going away from the faith, is a reality no one today can deny, even though, as I mentioned so often, rarely do I hear anybody use the word apostasy, and yet this apostasy is a going away from the faith, even while remaining in the faith, but having gone away from the faith. It's the very thing St. John writes in the letter. Many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. You know, there was a very interesting, this was years ago, a professor, he was head of the theological department at DePaul University. The Tribune had a big write-up on him. The Tribune or the Sun-Times, one of them. This is probably going back to the 1990s, maybe. But he was head of the theology department at DePaul, a former priest. He had left the priesthood, and he did not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was very explicit in the article. Figure that out. How do you make somebody the head of a theology department at the largest Catholic university in the United States, at least in name? You just wonder, you know. But again, even to raise the question, you'd be reprimanded today, right? You know. So it's a crazy time. We're living in a very crazy time, very weird time. Like I said, you know, when people have to whisper and turn around to see if anybody's, you know, even though I'm in a closed room with somebody, and they want to open up about what they see happening, and they're whispering, and they turn around, the door's shut, you know, there's nobody. But this happens. Yeah. This happens.
And it's interesting too, because Father, I was just talking to somebody I really appreciate talking to people outside of the United States that have gone through some of this, and they see the signs. And it's interesting how everybody says the same thing. I see. This is how it started in my country.
Sure. Always. You hear it all the time.
It's so sad. And people, that's a respect. It's a perspective to see. Yeah. We don't see it because we're in it. Yeah. But it's slowly inching, and people say it all the time. I've seen this before. I know what's happening, and I'm afraid.
And I've even heard people say this is worse than what they— we haven't gotten to the point yet, certainly, this systemic— because it's, really it is. It's systemic atheism. It's atheism would be what? Non-belief in God. But they have some kind of a god, you know, be it the government or whatever. It's very disturbing. Mm-hmm. It's very disturbing. This apostasy is a reality that no one can deny, the going away from the faith. And now the church is the mystical body of Christ. If it were just the institution, I wouldn't be here. I mentioned that on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I find it so disturbing, some of the stuff that's going on in the church today, how the church has become so politicized or become so corporate. Mm-hmm. If not for the mystical body of Christ, I wouldn't be here. The church's mission must be authenticated at all levels of her life in order to confront and engage in the spiritual battle against all forces opposed to God. The church bears responsibility for the salvific work of Jesus. And the great deception today, is that the church will enjoy the favor of the world. There's nothing in sacred scripture that would suggest this. It's quite the contrary. The words of Jesus to the disciples are meant for all of us who take seriously our discipleship in Christ. He said, "If the world hates you, realize that it hated me first. If you belong to the world would love you as its own. But because you do not belong to the world, and I have chosen you out of the world hates you. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." The church in many of her members, and this would, I would say this is, you know, bishops, priests, laity, suffer an allergic reaction to these words of Jesus, thinking we will befriend the world. These words that if the world hates you, realize that it hated me first, you will be at enmity with the world. Again, and I always bring this up, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn but to save the world. People rather chose to stay. The light came into the darkness. People rather chose the dark. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. But to think we're going to befriend the world, again, there's nothing in sacred scripture that would suggest this. It's just the contrary. But many in the church have this, I call it an allergic reaction to these words of Jesus. While much good could be said of the church's efforts to fulfill her mission, the call to correct her errors must be heeded today. I'm going back to the messages to the seven churches. The call is urgent. You know, I've mentioned in previous weeks, Ephesus, Sardis, Laodicea, they were rebuked for having lost love for Christ, for having become spiritually dead. and lukewarm, or lukewarm, respectively. Smyrna, one of the churches, received no rebukes, but rather was praised for bearing well under hardship and persecution. The church in Smyrna was called to stay the course, remain faithful unto death and eternal life. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Now, I want to look at just briefly these other three churches, the church in Pergamum, in Thyatira, in Philadelphia, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. But these are seven churches right around in the area where today is Turkey. Mm-hmm. You know, there were the seven churches which really represent the Church Catholic Universal. And St. John was a prisoner on the island and just off the, along the Aegean Sea, just across from, you can see Turkey right from the island. I've been on the island, and he was imprisoned there, and that's where he had this mystical experience whereby he wrote the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and again, that begins with the messages to the seven churches. We got to heed those messages and prepare ourselves because we have to be in the mission, which is in the salvific work of Jesus Christ. And it's not about befriending the world. Yes, God so loved the world, and we want to love people, draw people, attract people to Christ, to the church. The world would be a better place, and certainly was a better place when we lived with a great sensitivity to the commandments of God and to the discipline of the faith. And the very thing that preceded when Paul Harvey speaks about what he sees coming, it is the antithesis of civilization, a civilized society, where we understand there's a certain way that we're supposed to behave. We're supposed to be graceful, a dignified. I mean, what did the scripture say? You know, when the commandments were given, keep these commandments, love these commandments, fulfill these commandments, obey these commandments, and you will prove yourselves to be a noble, a graceful, a dignified, a knowledgeable people. You will be the envy of all nations. They're going to say, who are these people? Who is their God? What kind of God do they have that they have, you know, that they convey or witness to such dignity, such nobility, such grace? Now, we know that in the world where the church in the battle, the church triumphant, is in heaven, so it's always going to be a challenge. We're always going to be in this spiritual battle. But if we cleave to Christ and we understand the mission, which is to know God, to love God, and to serve God, to make known the salvific, the redemptive work of Christ, that God so loved the world, He condescends, He takes on our flesh in the incarnation in order to lay out the blueprint. And He didn't take the law, and nothing of the law, the commandments were not dispensed with. In fact, He calls us beyond the commandments to a life of very high virtue. And He said, yeah, this is a very narrow path. It's a difficult path, and few can stay on this path. But, you know, when Peter said, well, how can man be saved? He says, for man it's impossible, which means we have to be disposed and receptive to the inner working of God's Spirit. It says we got to be a praying people. But anyway, we'll take a break and come back and look at these three other churches briefly. Maybe bring an end to the show with that. And then on Thursday, which is also Ascension Thursday, because I've got this other article, Doom scrolling past Christ. Again, the impact of the media, social media, on not just on the society, but on the individual, what it's doing to the individual. All right, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on the new EWTN Catholic Radio, a voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on AM 750 WNDZ and on 88.5 FM WFSI.
Can you help St. Stanislaus Kostka Church? The church was constructed over 150 years ago, and despite its age, has maintained its sacred and timeless beauty. There is a realization that our shared spaces need to be upgraded with items such as a wheelchair lift for the lower church, new men and women's bathrooms, and the creation of space for meetings and hospitality, as well as more accessible wheelchair access. Visit ststandschurch.org, ststandschurch.org, for complete details on the renovation and what you can do to help.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change.
Sometimes it's tough to hear winds of change over the air, what with tall buildings, power lines, and other static. Now you can hear Winds of Change anywhere, anytime, or on any device. When Winds of Change is on the air, Monday through Friday, noon to 1, go to ststandschurch.org. Scroll down to the Winds of Change tile and click on the Listen Live button, or visit Winds of Change Facebook page to see the Listen Live link. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschurch.org. ststandschurch.org.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change. Tony's here. Wrapping up now. So I want to look, as I said, I've been reflecting on these messages to the seven churches, and the church in Pergamum, I hope I pronounced that right, and the church in Thyatira, the rebukes were summed up really nicely in a commentary I recently read, and I quote it, the church in Pergamum was the tolerant church. Although it refused to deny Christ, it allowed sin like idols, immorality, cults, and heresies to remain among it. Now, the church of Thyatira had love and faith and good works. They were patient people who were eager to grow. Where they fell short was their doctrine, which was infiltrated by idolatry, sexual sin, and pagan traditions. It's interesting, isn't it, as you think of the times we're living in, mm-hmm. and, you know, what has happened, what is happening in the church, you know? And it's not just the Catholic Church, by the way, you know, there's been an infiltration into all churches, you know? Yeah. It's an agenda that really wants to, as the Holy Father says, but again, I'm not gonna make a judgment. I don't know, right. You know. But he says, I don't want a new church. I want a different church. Well, what does that different church look like? When he says, I want to change the face of the church, what do you mean? You want to change the face of the church? If it means you want to holy your church, then yeah, I'm all in. But if it means that we've got to get with the times, I would say, you know, I think we've got to, especially these times, I think we've got to.
It's like with anything that's not really defined. How do you say you want to do this? Then you almost leave it up to people to decide what that change,
well, I listened to the Synod on Synodality. Uh-huh. I listened to this section. It was something that was issued in a diocese in Canada. And the bishop is there. He's wearing lay clothes, and he's with people, and they're talking about the synod, and you know, and everybody's talking about how, or he says, you know, how the church wants to listen to the people, and where the, you know, and then as the people are talking, it's just like this idea of dialogue. And again, I get reprimanded, I get slapped down for saying this, but I've been around a long time, yeah. And you know, they've all been talking dialogue forever. It's not a dialogue. It's pushing forward an agenda that really does want to. It is about radically changing the face of the church. But listen to this. So we'd be wise really to look into these seven churches as if looking into a mirror. I mean, the church is one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. She's more than the sum total of all her members. As the council document says, her holiness is hidden in Christ, the Mother of God, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the saints in heaven. That's a church triumphant. We, the militant church, the church in battle, we're a work in progress, but only if we're disposed and receptive to the inner workings of God's Spirit to purge, to transform, and to sanctify us. The urgent call that comes to us is to emulate the last of the seven churches, which really isn't the last. It's there in the midst of those seven churches, but I put it here last. And that's the Church of Philadelphia. The church in Philadelphia, again, it's not Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This is Philadelphia in there. What is present-day Turkey in that area. The church in Philadelphia was spiritually alive. Her disciples kept the name of Jesus, never denied it, and I quote the scripture, says, "Because you have kept my message of endurance, I will keep you safe in the time of trial that is going to come to the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have so that no one may take your crown." Again, this is the book of Revelation, so it's applicable to all people, you know, for all time, but it's really pointing to the end, the eschaton, the end of all things, when the world passes away and Jesus ushers in the full realization of his kingdom. Finally, the messages to the seven churches end with a sobering reminder, which again, you get slapped down if you mention this today, which is really weird. "Those whom I love, I reprove and chastise. Be earnest, therefore, and repent." It's right from the scripture. Along with this sober reminder is a summons. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will enter his house and dine with him and he with me. I will give the victor the right to sit with me on my throne as I myself first won the victory and sit with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears ought to hear what the Spirit says to the churches." You know, so my point is that the message needs to be, we need to take to heart these messages. As I say, it would be wise to look into these seven churches as if looking in a mirror, because we have a mission, which is the salvific work of Jesus Christ. The future seems ominous to many, and if we do not experience a profound and enduring metanoia, that is a change of heart, there is serious cause for concern. The implication is that we turn toward the Spirit of God and away from the spirit of the world. And this is a great, great temptation for the church today, is to accommodate or adapt to the world, the spirit of the world, and not submit to the Spirit of God, because as St. Paul said, "When convenient, when inconvenient, many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh, such as the deceitful one and the Antichrist. Look to yourselves that you do not lose what we worked for, but may receive a full recompense. Anyone who is so progressive as not to remain in the teaching of the Christ does not have God. Whoever remains in the teaching has the Father and the Son. So today, the question raised by Jesus rings with reality. What did he say? When the Son of Man comes, when he comes, will he even find faith in the world, or rather hearts that have gone cold? Today, those words ring with reality. They really do. This is, I guess the question is, where are we in this unfolding sacred story? And what's so sad is how people in the church who truly love Jesus, truly love the Lord and love Our Lady and love the Holy Mass, the Holy Sacrifice, are being demoralized by our own people, you know. And again, it's not just we're passing to a diabolical disorientation, pure and simple, and we're just going to leave it at that. But stay the course. We pray we stay the course. Remember, in this world you're going to have trouble. Jesus said, take courage, be at peace, I've conquered the world. Thanks for being with us. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Truth left untold, the truth.